And just like that, it's October. Wednesday, October 1st. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus, brought to you by Ike Sandwiches. It's great to have you here. It's great to be in October. We are a day away from the 49ers and Rams getting week five going on Thursday night football. And the 49ers are going to be rolling into SoFi deep in their own depth chart, and I think deep in terms of fans who are going to the game. A lot of 49er fans. I got a hair in my eye. Sorry, everybody. A lot of 49er fans. I think like 68% of the tickets have been sold. I don't even know. All I can tell you is that the Niner fans travel better than any other fan base in sports right now. So I do expect them to take over SoFi, but what fans will see and who the 49ers are going to be when those fans take over SoFi, well, that's to be determined by, you know, what is happening with this team medically right now. Your wide receivers tomorrow night in Los Angeles, 49ers fans, could be the following: Kendrick Bourne, Demarcus Robinson, Sky Moore, Russell Gage, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. That's if Jennings and Pearsall aren't able to go. Oh, by the way, I've been told the Rams are sticking with Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. So already it sounds like they've got that advantage over the 49ers. You know, all the drops that we saw last week were not good. I'm not sure Yetur Gross-Matos has had a single healthy week since signing with the 49ers, and he has been limited in practice once again. So he is a question to go tomorrow night, and he has been a huge part of, you know, the hard to find at times success of this 49ers defensive line. Mac Jones, I guess he's got a good chance to be under center. Brock Purdy did not practice yesterday. We'll see if he practices today. Today's session is not open to the media down in Santa Clara, being the day before a game. So, you know, we'll all be, I guess, waiting for that game time decision as to whether Brock goes with his re-aggravated turf toe. So, you know, the 49ers just don't have the most amount of momentum going down to SoFi with them. There's no doubt about that. I think Vegas has got the Rams 6.5, 7-point favorites everywhere you look right now. The Niners are going into this game being picked by everybody to lose it, to be the underdog. But football's funny. We'll see what happens. I'll tell you right now, you just have to have all eyes on Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua and Matthew Stafford might be able to win this game all by themselves. Puka Nacua is going to be hunting. He's going to be hunting Siegel for sure. He is absolutely going to be hunting rookie Marquis Siegel, who I think we all like, and he's a rookie, and everybody's happy that he's here. But other teams have seen on tape that's where you attack the 49ers secondary, and he has been attacked. He is giving it up right now. Puka Nacua, in case you did not know, is currently on pace for 178 receptions. This guy is catching everything Stafford is throwing his way so far this season. Look for him to be heavily involved, and look for him to be hunting Siegel whenever he can find that matchup. The 49ers' entire secondary, as it stands right now, is standing on the wrong side of history. On the wrong side of history, the 49ers secondary is currently on an 11-game streak without an interception. A Nick Bosa-less defensive line isn't exactly going to speed up any quarterback throwing into that secondary. This, by the way, is tied for the longest interceptionless streak any team has had since 1940. So if the 49ers do not pick off Matthew Stafford tomorrow night, they will be the least intercepting secondary the NFL has seen in a really, really, really long time. Again, Marquis Siegel right now is just being baptized by a league that is quickly learning to pick on the rookie. Siegel has allowed 16 of 18 targets to be completed for 198 yards, 2 touchdowns. NFL Pro Stats says that on downfield passes of 10 air yards or more, he's allowed 7 of 7 completions for 153 yards and a touchdown. In other words, every time you throw at Marquis Siegel, you basically have success. And as soon as teams start seeing that, all these coaches are just copying what works for other NFL teams. There's been an awful lot of success for opposing offenses throwing at Marquise Siegel, and you can expect Stafford and Nacua and Davante Adams to be testing that all game long tomorrow night. That's going to happen. What I hope happens is when you are thinking of what you're going to do for lunch today, if you're thinking of what you're going to be sitting down and eating tomorrow while you're watching a little 49ers on a Thursday night, check out Ike of Ike Sandwiches. See this guy right here? That guy right there, that guy comes up with the tastiest sandwiches on God's green earth. And that's why Ike's has got over 120 locations now. It is growing throughout the United States. If you're on the West Coast, you already know the legend. Hopefully, if you are somewhere in the Midwest, the East, the legend is getting closer and closer to you. Ike sandwiches are fantastic. Make sure you sign up for that Love Rewards program. When you do, you get a free sandwich when you sign up. You get prizes with every purchase, chips, drinks, all the good stuff that you could possibly want. And we are arranging some Ikes to be delivered to the Dubliner West portal when we're all there this Saturday. If you're in the Bay Area, if you're in San Francisco, I hope you can join me and an awful lot of the people whose comments you're reading in this chat right now are going to be there at the Dubliner West portal Saturday. We're starting at 4:20. We're going to be watching some college football. We're going to be hanging out. If you got any vinyl you want spun, bring it. We're spinning vinyl. My man Jude's bringing the coffin. So we're going to have some serious fun. And I hope you plan on coming out this Saturday and hanging out with us. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing tonight, just poking around, getting ready for, by the way, tomorrow's show is going to be a little bit more of a pregame show, and then we're going to be live for our watch party, a live stream watch party to coincide with the 49ers-Rams game. We're going to have to get our parlays together, baby, because Sleeper has got the best parlay action out there you're going to find, and I want you to check out Sleeper. More specifically, I want you to click on the link that's in the description of this video that you're watching right now and use promo code Damon when you sign up. You get $100 up to your first deposit, up to $100 matched by our good friends at Sleeper. Again, check out that user interface. There is a reason why it is America's fastest growing fantasy site. The news, the stats, the real-time updates everywhere. It is fantastic. Check it out. And as always, be responsible when you're over in the world of gambling. Little friendly advice from your Uncle Damon. But thanks to Sleeper. Thanks to Ike's. Thanks to our friends at the Dubliner. We cannot wait to see them this Saturday. We hopefully will get to see you as well. We got a lot of comments coming on in. Tyler Black just says, I like the candy apple suckers too. Yeah, you get a free lollipop when you pick up an Ike's. So yeah, those are good caramel apple, green apple lollipops that he has. Delicious. So we hope you plan on coming on out. See an awful lot of names here that we recognize. Hello to everyone this morning. Welcome, welcome. And please, if you are new here, think about hitting like and subscribe. Think about becoming a member of our channel. That is really, really a wonderful way to support things that we're doing around here. And I cannot thank you enough when you become a member of our channel. Danny Golding, popping back in as a member for football season. Danny, thank you and welcome back. We certainly appreciate you. He just said, hey, man, I had to renew my membership since I got a new debit card. Oh, there it is. He's not popping in and out during football season. He had a new debit card, so he's re-signed up. Danny, thank you very, very much. Really, really appreciate it. Appreciate all you guys and gals being here. And look, I appreciate good football, and the Rams are playing it. The Rams are playing good football. A very good Rams defense, honestly, has to love the prospects of what's coming their way. Now, look, it's a division rival that knows you well, and Sean McVay has lost an awful lot of football games in the regular season to Kyle Shanahan. There's no denying that. Kyle Shanahan, even though McVay got that one NFC title game, which absolutely tips the scales, you know, back to even, you win an NFC title game, your regular season ownage means less. But there's an awful lot. The only thing, honestly, in a banged up year where you're not happy with your offensive line, you're not happy with your wide receivers, you're worried about injuries everywhere, you might have your backup quarterback going, and even though you're 3-1, you don't exactly feel great about your prospects of winning down in LA, you're right to feel that way. You are. You are not off base by being worried about this one. This is one I think you deserve to be a little bit worried about. The prospects of the Niners finding a win aren't great. Could happen. Just not great. The best thing the 49ers got going for them, and to some of you, this won't be reassuring at all because you don't believe in Kyle Shanahan very much, but Kyle Shanahan's regular season record against Sean McVay, he's 10-4. He's 10-4 in the regular season against Sean McVay. So, I believe Mike Kruko would tell you that's some serious ownage, which it is. But that might be all the 49ers really got going for them. Did you know that this Rams defense right now is second in the NFL in sacks? They've got 14 sacks already. They get after it. Backup wide receivers. 49ers are rolling down to SoFi with backup wide receivers being a big part of this game plan. Let's see if Jennings and Ricky Pearsall are able to go. If they're not, again, you got the poo-poo platter of 49er backup wide receivers playing in this game. It might be Mac Jones over Purdy. You got a defense that didn't even bother hitting the quarterback that it played against last week for the first time in a decade. The ground game has essentially vanished. Again, backups everywhere. It's like Adele. You're rolling in the deep. You are deep in your depth chart. Deep. It's not great. But football's a funny sport. Football is a funny sport. And I'll tell you. Joji says must win tomorrow because it's a conference game. It's a division game, Joji. That's what makes it really big. It's a division game. And I think the division is going to come down to Rams and Niners. So, yeah, the price of admission whenever you're playing the LA Rams is double what it is just about anybody else. This is a big, big, big game. There are two huge games, and they're both the Rams games this year for the 49ers. And look, I think the Rams know that they're sitting on a winnable game. I think they know it. I think their confidence is high. Rams' confidence is high right now. Why wouldn't it be? They're playing really good football. They got a defense that matters. And I tell you, that defense, which Jared Verse is emerging as the leader of, this really good, talented pass rusher, he's smart too. It's one thing to be good. It's another thing to be smart. And oh boy, look at this. Because we all just watched Trent Williams play a very pedestrian game. Trent Williams did not play well against Jacksonville. Trent Williams hopefully will just have a one bad game in a vacuum and get back to reminding us who he is. Jared Verse was asked about going up against Trent Williams and if he plans on talking any shit this week. Apparently, Jared Verse is a big shit talker. Well, look at this. The young man is smart. Adam Grossbard on Twitter says, Jared Verse on if he'll talk trash to Trent Williams. The quote is, I don't lie down for nobody, or I don't lie down for anybody. I don't change up who I am for anybody. But I'm also not dumb. I'd rather let a sleeping giant sleep. I'm not going to wake up nobody that's minding their business. let me tell you, my Jared Verse stock just went up. I'll buy all the Jared Verse stock you're willing to sell me today. That is smart. Not only is he good, he's smart. You know what you don't do? You don't tug on Superman's cape. That's a smart young Jared Verse who's going to let his, cocksure attitude just remain a little quiet. Because even though Trent Williams is having a couple bad games here, that is still Trent effing Williams. And you just don't want to give him reason to lock into shutting you down so he sleeps well that night. So I, by the way, I just love that from Jared Verse. Yeah, I'm not dumb. I'm not gonna bother anybody who's minding their own business. That's smart, Jared Verse. Very smart. So not only are the Rams good, not only are they talented, not only are they a lot healthier than the 49ers, not only do they have a defense that's clicking and an offense that's clicking, they got a smart young football team who isn't going to say stupid bulletin board shit, which 49ers coaches couldn't even avoid last week. Like Robert Saleh volunteered some bulletin board material, you know, that the Rams and Liam Cohn, I think, used. Motivated them a little. Oh, you know, another thing that the 49ers aren't bringing with them down to SoFi? Good special teams. We'll see if that got corrected at all this week. I saw Robert Saleh. He was asked about Nick Martin. Hey, is Nick Martin going to be activated for this game? And he says that Nick Martin needs to do more to dominate on special teams for that to happen. As if dominating on special teams were the price of admission for anybody else on this football team. What a cop-out answer that is. Sorry, I'm burping a little bit. I haven't switched the coffee. It's the same filtered soul from Phil's that it always is, but it's making me a little burpy this morning. I got the coffee burps. Pardon me. Sip of the day. A little burp of the day. Where was I? Oh, yeah, the Niners are in a little bit of trouble tomorrow night, but we'll see if a football game doesn't break out and everybody's guessing what might happen. Again, is Ricky Pearsall playing? Is Juwan Jennings playing? Is Brock Purdy playing? Is Yetur Gross-Matos playing? If the answer is yes all around, I like the Niners' chances a whole lot more than I sit and look at them right now. It's a big test. Our first super of the day comes from Mr. Positivity himself, Joseph Ehrenberg. Joseph, always thank you very much. He says, win or lose, hope everyone just has fun. Niners 24-10. There you go, Joseph. There you go. Instead of putting the negativity out in the world, he's going positivity out in the world. I can actually feel the sarcasm in that super chat. But I thank you, Joe. And I hope you're right. I hope you're right. There you go. 49ers red zone. Just, yeah, Ehrenberg chalking up one. did we just pop at the same time? Chef A? Did we have a simultaneous sip of the day? That's sexy. That means you know the coffee was good if you're having a simultaneous sip of the day. AMPM coming in here saying, as long as our special teams and D play well, 28-24. I'd love to hear that. I mean, your D better play well against Stafford and Puka Nacua. Your special teams, Eddie Pinheiro kicking field goals does not mean special teams have gotten the prescription that they need to improve. It's kickoff coverage. It's punt return coverage. That is what kills this team on special teams. Almost more than Jake Moody ever did. So they need to figure that shit out. And, oh, we have been saying that for 7-8 consecutive seasons now. I don't think we were all over Kyle and special teams in year one. So I'll give them that. But for the last, 8-7 seasons, we've been saying it's clear this is not a priority. And it needs to become a priority because it's one of the fastest ways to step on your own dick every single football game. And the Niners, they can get to some serious dick stepping if when they want to. I mean, the Niners really do, I think, as much as any team in football, shoot themselves in their own foot by not addressing their offensive line year after year after year after year and not addressing special teams year after year after year. Well, you could say they've addressed it. They brought in new coaches. They brought in new players. But it just ain't working. It just ain't working. Tyler again says, make special teams players drive their own cars down. How about this? If the Rams' average starting field position is like the 38-yard line, you guys have to drive yourselves back from L.A. You don't come back on the team charter. It is just nuts. You know, Nick Martin can't play until he's dominating on special teams. Well, explain to me how anybody on special teams is playing, because nobody out there is dominating their job. Angel Mario says, are you going to the game? I would love to buy you a shot. I would love to be going to the game. I wish I were going to the game tomorrow night. I'm dying to see SoFi Stadium with my own two eyes. I really am. But I will be hosting our live stream watch party from right here, so I won't be at the game. And these live stream watch parties are so successful for the channel. I wonder if I'll ever actually be at another football game again. These live stream watch parties are the biggest audiences we gather all week long. So I'm crazy to not do them. I keep on saying, I don't know when I'm going to be taking my boys to football games, because daddy's got to work during these football games. We'll figure it all out. Don't feel bad for Jack and Ozzie. We watch a lot of Monday Night Football. We watch a lot of college football together. Damon, we need an in-stadium live stream. Yeah, I think you're going to have to talk to some lawyers for that to happen. The NFL is very onerous over what can come out of their stadium during a broadcast that isn't being broadcast by Fox. So I don't think that would be allowed. But thank you. And yeah, watch parties are fun for us because we're all friends here. And it's always more fun to get together with friends. I mean, isn't that why you go to a game? So you have people who you share rooting interests all around you? Well, that's what our chat room is during these watch parties. And speaking of getting together in person and being all together in person, let me just tell you one more time. We've got ourselves a wonderful meetup happening at the Dubliner West Portal. There it is. Dubliner West Portal. Be there on Saturday at 4:20. We're going to be hanging out for hours with Kenny and company at the Dubliner West Portal. If you can make it into San Francisco, please come on through. Say hello. Just come and hang out for a little bit. You don't need to bring me a thing. You don't need to do anything. I'll give you a sandwich. I'm going to be so happy to see you. Come on in. Meet the family. We're having the boys with the grandparents. It's just going to be me and Jillian hanging out. And hopefully a whole bunch of you. Thomas Selman says, can we get this dub? 3-0 in the division would be huge. Thomas, this game is massive. It really is. I'm going to tell you right now, if the 49ers win this game, under the circumstances that they will become 4-1 under, I want to see Kyle Shanahan's name on Coach of the Year betting odds next week. He's not on the top of that Coach of the Year conversation. I don't want to hear that, well, the Niners are so talented and Kyle's so respected. He doesn't get Coach of the Year consideration anymore. They were a 6-win team last year, and they're about as banged up almost this year as they were last year. And if he's seriously 4-1, I want to see Kyle's name put in that Coach of the Year conversation. I do. The Rams have to love what's coming their way. The 49ers got to be a little anxious about what that roster tomorrow is going to look like at kickoff. We'll see who is cleared to go. But tomorrow afternoon, watching your Niner beat reporters all try to be first with who is and isn't playing, that's where I'm telling you, I want to know who's playing quarterback before I start making any bets. I want to know who's out there playing wide receiver before I start making any bets, okay? So we need this information. We need this information. Brock says he's hopeful to go. but he's not practicing, so hope is going to be required for that. We'll see if he goes today. Christian McCaffrey, by the way, I just really hope he's able to stay healthy. This guy is already, he's leading the NFL. He's got 100 touches on the season. Already, he's touched the ball 100 times, leading the NFL with 100 touches. And I'm telling you, the vast majority of those touches now need to come in the passing game, because they're just running Christian McCaffrey into his own demise in this running game. This ground game has to open up. And since Christian McCaffrey is being asked to solve every fucking problem this team has right now offensively, I don't think you got to put this one on him too. Obviously, you look at a young offensive line and say, guys, all around, you need to do better. You interior, you young guards, you rooks, you sophomore, Dominic Pooney, you got to get better. Jake Brendel, brother, you got to get better. Hey, Trent Williams, Jared Verse ain't talking shit this week, but your coaches should tell you, you got to get better. McKivitz has got to get better. This whole offensive line will get better opening up holes in the run game when George Kittle comes back. I'm going to tell you right now, George Kittle is a Hall of Fame tight end, and he is the first Hall of Fame tight end who is incredible as a target and a pass catcher, and he is going to be second to Jerry Rice in terms of all-time catches on this team when his career is over. George Kittle's probably more important opening up the running game than he is the passing game, and Kittle not being there goes a long way to retard this running game right now. Versus Jacksonville, Christian McCaffrey had 49 yards on 2.9 yards per carry. Averaging, the team is averaging just over 3 yards per carry. That is the opposite of how Kyle Shanahan wants to play football. Through 4 weeks, it's about 3 yards per carry, and that needs to change. Again, this is Kittle's absence being felt in ways you weren't expecting to feel it. You know what else is also happening here that is kicking this run game in the ass right now? It's the blocking everywhere, not just from the offensive line and the tight end who you need back, but these wide receivers. You know how good Brandon Ayuk is at run blocking as a wide receiver? There is a correlation between Brandon Ayuk ain't out here and this running game ain't clicking like it used to. There is a correlation there that we have been pleasantly ignoring. I think Juwan Jennings has been banged up all year and hasn't been right a single day yet. And he is also outstanding as a run blocker downfield and hasn't quite been that yet this year. It is, you know, it's when it comes to opening up the running game, it takes a village. It's not just your offensive line. It takes a village. And right now, there are too many villagers not out there getting it done. We'll see how many of these villagers are going to show back up this week. D-Rob going to have a huge game if Mac plays. I hope. You know, DeMarcus Robinson was back last week, and he is losing reps to Kendrick Bourne and Marquez Valdes-Scandling and was only targeted twice and didn't catch a ball into the fourth quarter. I want to see DeMarcus Robinson targeted on the first three plays of this fucking game. Get him involved early. You have to. Again, the explosive plays have yet to be found in this running game. Just average plays have yet to be found in this running game. And you can't just keep running Christian McCaffrey into tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Line him up at slot receiver and think about leaving him there for a little while. You turn to Brian Robinson, you eventually turn to the rookie from Oregon who is too hurt to even be considered. Hey, is Isaac Garendo on this team? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, play him. Use him at running back so Christian McCaffrey can go and do what he excels at right now, and that is catching the football. It needs to happen. It needs to happen. again, what I need to have happen so I know where to place some bets and some of my action for sleeper this week is I need to know who is playing tomorrow night as I'm building out my sleeper parlay. When you go to build out your sleeper parlay, make sure you click on the link in the description of this live stream. Use promo code Damon when you sign up. Get a $100 deposit match up to your first $100 deposit on Sleeper. It is America's fastest growing fantasy site. You got in-game betting, you got parlays everywhere, you pick a player more or less, you build your own parlay ticket, and you adjust your own odds based on the odds you are claiming. It's really, really something else. You can 1,000x your money. You can. You're going to have to hit a big parlay to do that. But it's an awful lot of fun. Be responsible over on Sleeper. And thanks to them for being a great sponsor here on Damon Bruce Plus this season. It's great to have you here. Thank you very much for supporting the show by being here. Couple more NFL things to let you know about this week. The Commanders are getting their quarterback on Sunday. Jaden Daniels has been cleared to play. He hurt his knee against the Packers in a week 2 loss and will be back against the Chargers on Sunday. So after the 49ers and Rams vacate SoFi Stadium after their game on Thursday, the Chargers are playing a home game at SoFi, and we will see Jaden Daniels back under center. The Cleveland Browns, by the way, have reached the end of their Joe Flacco experience this year. We knew it wasn't going to last very long. For those of you who said, well, Shedeur Sanders, next guy up, nope. Rookie Dylan Gabriel is the next man up for the Cleveland Browns. He will be starting for them in London against the Minnesota Vikings. So Dylan Gabriel will be up after Joe Flacco. It finally happened yesterday. Oh my God, our long national Jonathan Kuminga nightmare came to a close. Thank goodness. I really was so sick and tired of that. I am so sick and tired of it. I've come to the conclusion our creators are so trash, not talking to Damon or Larry or Grant. Well, I don't know who you're watching. We're not here to cut the legs off of anybody, so we seem taller. But all I can tell you is I think there is a clear and obvious difference between the world of content creators that have come here from I covered sports professional background and a whole bunch of people who just have the internet who all have a voice in the game and are all fans and, you know, come up with good observations too. But there's a difference between, hi, I'm a pro who used to do this for real and was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to talk sports for a living, and now have to do it over here because they can't afford to do that anymore over there. And that's why I'm over here. And I think that there is a clear difference between those who were pros and those who are amateurs. So I think that's what you're looking at, but it's fine. It's fine. All I know is that there's plenty of YouTube to go around. Nobody's muscling me out of any, you know, gigabytes of data so their videos can be out there too. And the way I look at it is if you're interested in a topic, you're going to keep clicking around until you get, you know, who you like on that topic. And hopefully YouTube's algorithm eventually brings me to you or you to me, however that works. Like and subscribe. I can tell you that'll go a long way to you getting better 49ers content. You hit notify and you won't miss a thing. Jonathan frickin' Kuminga. The situation is over for now. For now. All I can tell you is that it's a 2-year, $48.5 million deal to return. The deal includes a team option that is designed to be ripped up and renegotiated next summer. Historically, that's called a player option, not the team option. So it feels like there's an awful lot of trust us, bro, going on here. The new contract came months after a contract dispute. They could have arrived at this number in this situation a month ago, but they didn't because everyone dug into their angry positions. Kuminga and reporters are saying that he took this deal over a richer 3-year deal to maintain the ability to be traded in January, which is something the Warriors are likely to explore. They were exploring Jonathan Kuminga trades all offseason, but didn't find anything that they liked. And what here's now what needs to happen. Steve Kerr better figure out a way to play Jonathan Kuminga early and well, because that is either going to redefine who he is to the Warriors and it's kumbaya and he stays and it's good, or he's going to turn himself into the valuable trade piece that allows you to conduct business that seems, I don't know, anything other than abnormal around Jonathan Kuminga. So the better Kuminga plays, the better it is for the Warriors in real time, the better it might be for the trade that could come later on, the better it might be just for the overall feeling around this team. It's just weird. And I don't need any dobbered down hangdog bullshit going on from a guy who's like, hey man, I'm being dropped from playoff rotations and I'm not happy at all. Steve Kerr has, I'm sure, several things he thinks he needs to do as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. The truth is the system is basically installed. Jimmy Butler, Steph, and Draymond know how to run it. Seth Curry being in the room for the first time, that's kind of interesting. We'll see how Al Horford and DeAndre Melton, who was with this team for a little bit last year, he should be able to get his sea legs back again. So as I look at what the run-up of this season is for the Warriors, it's real simple. Steve Kerr, make peace with Jonathan Kuminga and pretend to like him, pretend to have figured it out between now and the trade deadline. And on the way to pretending, maybe you actually start. On the way to pretending that Kuminga's the right player, maybe he actually turns into that. You know, he's been raw, he's been underdeveloped. Eventually, you know, what Kuminga's promising the NBA is eventually my hand is going to find the switch on the wall and I will flip it and I'm going to be awesome at this. He's still young enough. He's still, I think, been in an odd situation enough to not give up on him. How the Warriors could be walking away from young, can function in the NBA talent at this point in their aging team's story. I don't know how that makes any sense at all. You know, if you're saying, well, what you can't do is surround the Warriors with guys who aren't ready to go. Well, that's what they did years ago with Jonathan Kuminga, and he's been in your system for so long. He should be ready to go now, Steve Kerr. You know, you can't label Kuminga as the raw young guy who just doesn't quite fit anymore. If he doesn't quite fit, that is, the Warriors are guilty of that as well. I guess now that media day's over, but business can actually be transacted, we will get to know Al Horford and DeAnthony Melton. We'll be meeting with the media at some point here. Seth Curry, it's really weird. Seth Curry can start training camp with the Warriors, but then can't be signed until about a month in after he gets waived. So they stay under the second apron. And now we're talking about aprons. And I fucking hate the NBA when it becomes a math problem. I really do. I hate the NBA when it's about math. I just don't like math. Jay Boogie, please. No. We're not bringing back Wiseman. Thank you. Mark's Main says, had to tap out of a lot of 49ers content this week. Too much sky is falling too soon for too many people. 49ers fretful. P.S. Cincy ripe for a trade? Hey, we'll, you know, keep on losing, Cincinnati. Yeah, I hope Cincinnati's ripe for a trade. You know, that's a big ticket item that you'd be looking at. But if I were the 49ers, I would consider it. Again, if they are interested in pursuing a trade that big, they really believe that they can win the Super Bowl this year. And if they're not, well, maybe they aren't. You Yeah, look, the team is hurt. That offensive line is underwhelming. The defensive line just had its most underwhelming game in a decade. The entire secondary can't find an interception at all. The ground attack has been thoroughly unimpressive. Christian McCaffrey is being overused. Important players, because they're always hurt, are underused. And a lot of the juju around the 49ers ain't great right now. Having said all of that, 3-1 in first place. Right? I mean, there's something to be said for being 3-1 and in first place with a chance tomorrow night to be in sole control of first place with the 3-0 record in the NFC West if they beat the Rams. And I'm just going to tell you right now, as much as it looks like the Rams are ready to beat the Niners this week, division rivals always turn what you think a predictable game is into something that becomes unpredictable. You know, there is some, there's weird things happen against division rivals. Something weird happens against an eminently beatable Arizona team every single time the Niners are like loaded to have a good year. Arizona out of nowhere beats them. Why? How? I don't know, but it happens. So, again, every team in football, in any game you'll see on the schedule, as soon as that coin flips and they know who's, you know, receiving or deferring, every team in football has got a puncher's chance. Now, you might quickly in a game show you ain't going to throw that punch today, but you never know. You know, we just watched the Cleveland Browns throw zero punches at the Green Bay Packers through 3.5 quarters of football, and the Packers are really good, and the Browns are really bad, and the Browns won that game. We just watched a lot of people think they could go to the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert, as good of a young quarterback as there is, Jim Harbaugh, totally entrenched as the Chargers head coach, go into New York. The Giants watch Malik Nabers go down with a torn ACL, lost to the entire year. Brian Daboll is a sputtering head coach, insecure in his security, with Jackson Dart starting his first ever game. There's no way the Giants are winning that game. Except they did. So don't tell me the 49ers can't get this done. They absolutely can get this done. But I also think it's right handicapping to say, yeah, they're about a 6.5-point dog in this game. How about this? It's one of those games where I would bet the Niners plus 6.5, but I don't know if I'd take it money line. I think it'll be close only because, look, even when the Niners are bad and the brakes are beating you, they don't get blown out. The Niners are not the victims of a lot of embarrassing final scores. Niners plus 6.5, I'll take that. By the way, in terms of, hey, go to Sleeper and make a few plays. Does anybody bet the NHL? I would never bet the NHL. And if you are betting the NHL, you probably don't want to bet on the Sharks this year. I just saw this because, look, basketball season's coming, which means hockey season is not far away either. The Sharks' chances of being a playoff team right now, yes, is going off at plus 1,200, and no is minus 2,500. In other words, you would have to bet $2,500 for a chance to win $100 on, no, I don't think the Sharks are going to. The Sharks have a 96.2% chance of not reaching the playoffs this year. Go Sharks! If that doesn't get you excited for hockey season in the South Bay, nothing will. There's a 96.2% chance you're not a playoff team this year. Go Sharks. It's a rebuild, everybody. It's a rebuild. I got to get Brody Brazil on for 10 minutes of Sharks talk, and that'll probably be 10 minutes too many. We should probably keep it to like 8. Smiley says, I lost money on that damn Chargers. Quit talking about that game. I'm sorry, man. Those bad beats are rough out there, ain't they? Smash that like button. Hit subscribe. Thank you, Irwin. Certainly hope to see you at the Dubliner on Saturday. Corporal Tez says 3-3 is not the first choice of a win-loss record after six games, but we'd still be in the mix. There are 12 teams with winning records in the entire league right now. 3-3 would have us in the mix. Again, 3-3 means you've lost three in a row. I mean, let's not stack loss on top of loss on top of loss just because everyone's feeling bad right now. Yeah, no, look. 3-2, they're still in the mix. 3-3, they're still in the mix. Again, it's you can't really be worried about your season being, you know, unsalvageable, and you haven't even gone trick-or-treating yet. You know, we'll worry about salvageability around Thanksgiving. There's still an awful lot of football out there. There's a lot of football to be played. That's why everyone was like, oh, man, this Jaguars game, I hate it. This is the worst thing ever. The whole season, they're done now. They're gone. It is week four. You don't go pissing down your pants in week four when you're 3-1. It's a good day if you like baseball. Playoff baseball. We got game twos everywhere in all the series that started yesterday. It's the opening wild card round. So if you lost game one, you better come back. You better win game two. We'll see what this looks like. Cubs got a win. Bullpen hung on yesterday. Yankees looked like they were going to rally in the ninth. Didn't. You had the Reds get blown out of Dodger Stadium. Shohei hitting a couple of home runs, both of them bombs. When you get two home runs from your game three starter, you got some talent, I guess. That's the Dodgers game three starter homered twice in game one. What else happened yesterday? Guardians. We'll see what the Guardians. I think they're playing out there right now, too. So I love a little playoff baseball on that screen that I got in the background all day long. Sure thing. Give me a little playoff baseball. Who can say no to that? Meanwhile, Giants better hire Bruce Bochy. You ready for that? You ready for that live stream? The Bruce Bochy's back show? We might be doing it. I don't think it's out of the question. I don't think it's out of the question. What is never in question is that we always deeply appreciate you being here. We talk sports through most of the show. We always open with football. Then we do the other stuff. And then we wrap up with a little history lesson. And it's officially time for us to wrap up today's show with Today in History, which always starts with birthdays. And a teaspoon of sugar will help the birthday shots go down. Happy 90th birthday to Julie Andrews. Julie Andrews, 90 years old today. Happy 75th birthday to Cousin Eddie. Randy Quaid, 75 years old today. Zach Galifianakis. How old Zach? I forgot to write down how old Zach Galifianakis was turning today. It's 40-something. Maybe he's 50-something. Hold on. Let me see here. Let me see. We got to get it right. Zach Galifianakis today is 56 years old. Happy birthday, Zach Galifianakis. Happy birthday to Brie Larson, who nobody in Hollywood seems to like anymore. She's 36. She's married to Ryan Reynolds, and apparently the both of them are kind of douchey. Livy Doon, the LSU gymnast, now Paul Skeen's girlfriend. Part-time underwear model, part-time Instagram hottie. Livy Doon is 23 years old today. Happy birthday to Livy. We're going way back to 331 before Christ, 331 BC, Alexander the Great today defeated Darius III of Persia in the Battle of Gaugamela, and that brought the fall of the Persian Empire. So, good night, Persian Empire. We hardly knew you. Today in 1843, London's News of the World began publication, one of the first big global newspapers. Today in 1908, for $825, you could buy a Ford Model T. The Ford Model T, the first car to ever roll off an assembly line, you could have it for $825, which back then was an awful lot of money. Let's see. What's the famous Henry Ford line? That you could order your Model T in any color as long as that color was black. Couple of big home runs hit today. The first one came in 1932 when Babe Ruth famously called his own shot to center field bleachers at Wrigley Field. Whether he did or didn't, I do know he hit a home run that day, and the Yankees would go on to win that World Series. Today in 1940, the Pennsylvania Turnpike opened to traffic. That is considered the first ever U.S. superhighway, so happy birthday to highways, I guess. Today in 1949, happy birthday to China, as we kind of know China now. After most of the mainland was being held by the People's Liberation Army, their leader, Mao Zedong, basically said, hey, this is the new China, and I'm calling it the People's Republic of China, and they're going to use that in Berkeley one day to call it the People's Republic of Berkeley. So it's going to be a hit today in 1949. Today in 1955, we all got to know Ralph Kramden and Ed Norton. The Honeymooners premiered on CBS Today in 1955. That was like the original sitcom almost. Brilliant, brilliant. Jackie Gleason, Art Carney, brilliant comedians in the dawn of television. The Polo Ponies episode was still one of the hardest I've ever laughed as a little kid. They're talking about Polo Ponies. He calls them Pelopones. Hey, wait, Ralphie, you bringing Pelopones? Today in 1958, the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics said, you know, NACA doesn't roll off the tongue as well as NASA does. So they changed it from the National Advisory Committee on Aeronautics to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. NASA changed its name. Got it right today. I told you a day of famous home runs. Well, today in 1961, Roger Maris hit a 61st home run that would pass that Babe Ruth guy for the most ever hit in a single season. There would be an asterisk because in 61, they decided to play 162 games instead of 158 games. And we got to talk an awful lot about home runs and asterisks here in the Bay Area because of Barry Bonds. So there you go. It all started with Roger Maris today in 61. Tonight in 1962, Johnny Carson took over as host of The Tonight Show. He would become the king of late night television. Johnny Carson was the man. So we normally don't do today in history, the number one song in America was, but today's number one song in America is so unique that I wanted to tell you about it. Today, in 1977, the number one song on the Billboard charts was by Mecco, who covered the Star Wars theme and the Cantina Band. The Star Wars theme was covered like by a disco band, turned into a disco theme, and then they used the Cantina. That was the number one song in America. Like they were playing that at the club, which I guess back then was known as the discotheque in 71. Or whenever, yeah, what was that? That was 1977. Oh, I skipped one. Today in 1971, Walt Disney World opened in Orlando. Okay. All right. I went to Walt Disney World when I was 10 years old. It was like one of the most magical weeks of my entire life. It was incredible. Today in 1992, Cartoon Network began broadcasting their first ever cartoon. I mean, we know what the first ever video was on MTV. Video Killed the Radio Star. The first ever cartoon on Cartoon Network. Well, Droopy Dog apparently was the master of ceremonies. So the first cartoon character on Cartoon Network was Droopy Dog, who then introduced the first ever cartoon, which was Bugs Bunny in Rhapsody Rabbit. So you had a lot of Gershwin, the Rhapsody in Blue, Bugs Bunny being displaced by skyscraper construction, I believe is what Rhapsody and Rabbit all, is all about. We wrap up with the very sad fact that today in 2017, and you'll remember this well from today in 2017, a 64-year-old nut job shot up that music festival in Las Vegas, killing 58 people. 58 people. He took his own life. His name was Stephen Paddock, and I hope that every ounce of his soul is burning in hell. It surpassed the Orlando nightclub shooting in 2016 as the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. That was today in 2017. So sad. Good to see that since that moment in time, we have learned an awful lot about how to protect innocent people, and we have taken radical steps to, along with honoring the Second Amendment, use common sense to make sure nut jobs have harder access to guns. Thank God we have passed so much binding common sense. Oh, excuse me. We haven't done anything. We suck at guns. There's probably a mass shooting happening right now. We got new guys driving into churches, taking out all churches, burning them, shooting them up. It's just a crazy world out there. Again, national what day is it? Who lobbied for it to be National Homemade Cookie Day? I don't know who did that, but thank you for doing that. There really is very little in the world that is better, that is more comforting, that is more reassuring than a warm homemade cookie. It's always good. When does a warm, fresh out the oven homemade cookie not hit the bullseye? That hits the bullseye always. Today is also National Fire Pup Day. Now, does that mean you fire your puppy? Or does this mean Dalmatians and firehouses? I don't know. But I only bring that up to tell you that I think, as parents go, Jillian and I are out of the Paw Patrol woods. When you have young boys, I'm guessing this applies to girls too, because Paw Patrol is just omnipresent in young children's developments these days. We were deep in a Paw Patrol phase for well over a year, year and a half. I think we're out of it. Jack moved out of the Paw Patrol phase and cares much less about that show, watching it, talking about it, playing with the Paw Patrol toys. I think Jack is out of that phase, and I think Ozzy is now out of that phase, which means we're out of the Paw Patrol phase. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for getting us out of the Paw Patrol phase. I feel like we're developing. Yeah, just Paw Patrol stickers everywhere in the car. It is sad when they grow up a little bit. You know, I did. My Jack is 6 years old. I picked him up yesterday. I put him on my lap, and I'm holding him on my lap. And I said, "You're not going to want to be here very soon. So I'm going to force you to sit here for a minute, just hugging my boys." At some point in time, my boys are going to say, "Dad, quit hugging me." And you want that day to come. You need that day to come. But it'll hurt a little bit when it does. I will not wax poetic about being out of the Paw Patrol phase. I love my kids. I don't love Chase, Marshall, and Paw Patrol. I can't take any more. We got San Bruno Mike saying, cookies with THC. Now those definitely hit the bullseye. Well, we'll see if anybody brings those to the Dubliner on Saturday. I'm sure some people are planning on being safe. And we want everybody to be as safe as humanly possible. By the way, an awful lot of love to Julie Andrews here on the chat. Julie Andrews, the freaking badass, man. There you go, Jude. Jude is going to be spinning for us, by the way. In the Mix Productions, ITMP, Jude is going to be spinning the vinyl. To the moon, Alice, to the moon. Yeah, you know, one of the big jokes in The Honeymooners was a husband threatening to punch his wife so hard she went to the moon. But again, it was 1955. That joke landed a lot better than it would now. See, even Chef A, to the moon, Alice. I used to love it when Looney Tunes would do a Honeymooners knockoff with rodents. The Honeymooners were a knockoff Looney Tunes show. But yes, love for Julie Andrews. Little love for Alexander the Great. Little love for Roger Maris. Little love for some asterisks. And an awful lot of love and an awful lot of thanks for you being here today. We certainly do appreciate you doing that. And we appreciate you taking care of those that appreciate us so much that they are sponsors here on the channel. Our friends at Sleeper. Check out and sign up in the link in the description of the video you're watching right now. Use promo code Damon to get $100 on your first deposit match, up to $100. Have fun over at Sleeper, America's fastest growing fantasy site. If you want a faster growing belly, get yourself to Ike's. Now, Ike's, by the way, has big fat boy delicious sandwiches. I'm one of them. I would know. That is a fat boy sandwich. If you actually want to eat healthy at Ike's, he has more healthy options and vegan options than you would ever imagine. So even though I think all vegetarians are just people who have made the wrong life choices walking among us, if you're one of those weirdos, he can accommodate you. And if you're a good old-fashioned fat boy or fat girl who just likes a big fat boy or fat girl sandwich, this is the place for you. Get yourself to Ike's. Feel good about being fat and come on down for a big fat fun Saturday at the Dubliner West Portal. And if you've never tried an Ike's, again, I'm already in connection with my Ike's team about getting sandwiches delivered to us around 5:30. We're going to get there around 4:20. Hopefully you can remember that. And hopefully we'll see you at the Dubliner West Portal. But that is it for us here today. I thank you so very much for being a part of today's show. Thank you to all the supers. Thank you to all the sponsors. Thank you to all the viewers. Thank you to all the commentators. And we will be with you 11 a.m. tomorrow. By the way, Sammy Batesh called me. He can't join me on Thursday. He'll be joining me on Friday. So Sam will be by for his weekly appearance on Friday, not Thursday. We will use tomorrow's live stream at 11 West Coast to get you ready to go for the Thursday nighter and then be back here on the Plus for our live stream watch party, Rams Niners Thursday Night Football. Meanwhile, appreciate you being here. Thank you very much. Sports.